up on the programme today, we'll be having the return of Dennis Gore. Yes, Dennis the Chemist back with us with more nutritional supplements, delightful materials. And we've also got the return of Fred Bottrell to the studio. Fred and indeed Jill, who are actually here. Fantastic stuff there. Good morning, Fred. How are you?
Good morning.
Excellent. Good morning, Jill. Are you well?
I am fine. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, as I say, we've got rural news, country news. We've got nutritional news as well, and a whole heap of other things on Southside Broadcasting Channel 1 for Hospedia at the James Cook University Hospital.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and St. Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
With a high-spec accommodation, all with ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential nursing and dementia service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at roseville@prestigegroup.uk.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225
grams of magnesium, 1 tablespoon.
Remember, any more than 1 tablespoon could kill you. Any less than 1 tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, oh, then right. You can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Splendid. And it's that time of day when we, of course, we can actually say welcome to the wonderment that is Dennis the Chemist. Dennis Gore, how are you, Dennis?
Mighty fine, sir. Mighty fine.
Oh, fantastic stuff.
Yeah, oh, you're all back. You're all back. Thank you. Thank you, loyal citizens.
Quite rightly so, too. It's like West Coast, East Coast, etc. Dennis, we've got two fine folk in the studio. Fred Bottrell, who, of course, is a sort of visitor to the studio. He's looking to become one of our gardening correspondents, although he does like real guitars, amongst other things. Pink Floyd and such like were a couple of artists there. And Fred's taken one of the Pharmanord brochures and has promised me that when he gets back home with his specs, he'll duly read through it. Which is good.
Right.
So there we are. Fred, Dennis, there we are.
Pleased to meet you.
How are you doing, Fred?
Pleased to meet you.
And Fred, can we say how old are you? How chronologically gifted are you?
55.
55 English years, Dennis. There we are.
So, 55.
So I'm thinking could be beneficial with respect to the farm and horse. Sorry, Fred, we're not trying to sell you anything. Well, on the other hand, just life. And we've also got Jill, who is just barely over 22, I think, really, in terms of that. So we'll just help her.
Yes. Only a baby.
Exactly.
Just out of nappies.
I think so. Anyway, Dennis, what would you like? Well, in fact, I might lead into this mini lecture, etc., because, Fred, have you ever heard of coenzyme Q10?
No.
Okay, second question. Do you feel now you're kind of in your mid-50s that sometimes energy is just a little bit, you know, you just think, I just can't get out of bed in the morning. Do you feel as though maybe you don't have the energy you had when you were in your 20s, for instance?
I've never really noticed.
You've never really noticed? No. Okay, well, that's probably because Jill wheels you around all the place, but never mind. That's a different...
It's all like gardening keeping him fit. Because doctors are telling us that gardening is very high up there on an activity that we should do at any age, but especially as you get older, because the bending and the fresh air and your attunement with nature keeps your blood pressure down, keeps you healthy. It's a very healthy way of living, is including gardening in your lifestyle. Would you agree, Fred?
Yeah. I think it's the fine weather as well.
Yeah. I must say, my daffodils and tulips, this year they've all come up. It's tremendous.
That's amazing. Jill, I mean, obviously, same two questions. Do you find that sometimes your energy level's a little bit low, perhaps?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Yeah, it's nice to have an honest answer, Jill. Sorry, Fred.
Definitely.
Well, I mean, if Fred's never heard of...
Coenzyme Q10. Jill, have you heard of coenzyme Q10?
I have heard of it, yes. Yeah. It's in face creams.
When you ask people nowadays, because in the last few years, it is in face creams to rejuvenate your skin. But the original use was taking it. And I happen to be the only pharmacist in the world who's been and sent by Pharmanord, this Danish company, who are based in Morpeth, but all the products are made in Denmark. They have about 48 products, health food products, in their range. And Denmark's the only country in Europe where, by Danish law, you have to make all your health food products to pharmaceutical standards. And so they are made to pharmaceutical standards. And so this product, Q10... they've actually sent me to Boston, Germany, Italy, London, Los Angeles, Prague, Belgium, Sweden, Seville, and next year it will be back in America, in Texas. So up to now, I've heard 900 lectures on Q10. Every 2 years, there's a meeting in a different country, and so 9 twos are 18. This has been going on for 18 years. So I better tell you, Fred and Jill, what Q10 actually is.
I think they want to know. Don't you want to know, guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Go for it.
Right. There is a molecule with 10 carbons, so they called it Q10 because the 10 relates to the number of carbons, and it gives you your energy. I'll tell you how in a moment. Rats, and we're hearing that rats are getting much bigger. They're now big as small cats, and they're very canny. They avoid how to be captured. And it's because they're eating all the food we're throwing out. Maybe be connected because the dustbins have gone maybe from a weekly connected collection to a fortnight collection. I'm reading this in the paper this morning. And so there's more chance now of eating the food that we're throwing out. So rats use a carbon, 9-carbon Q, and flies, they use Q8 with 8 carbons in the molecule to give them the energy. And mouldy bread, it's a mould called mucormucedo that grows on your bread when it's gone past the sell-by date. And you think, oh, look, the bread's all mouldy, it's green-yellow. That's using Q7 with 7 carbons. And, Fred, all your trees and flowers, they're using plasma quinone. That's the molecule that plants use to push their way through the soil and the weeds through the concrete to give them the energy to do it. So you can see Q, which you've never heard of, really. Most people haven't heard of it. It's equally up there with water, H2O, and oxygen, O2, as being a very important molecule. So what happens is in our human bodies and in animals, we make this substance in every cell in our body, and especially the liver. The liver makes most of your Q10, which can actually leave the liver and go around the body to where it's needed. Something like a lorry delivering petrol to all the petrol stations. So the liver makes the Q10, and it goes to all your cells in your body. Now, you haven't got 50 million cells, and you haven't got 50 billion cells. You've actually got 50 trillion cells. That's a lot of cells. And in each cell, there are little engines called mitochondria. And you've got between 100 and up to 5,000 in every cell. And you've got 50 trillion cells. So you've got zillions, if there's such a word, zillions of these sausage-shaped engines called mitochondria. And when you get the little nutrition books, Jill, Fred, from Pharma North, it's a beautiful little book.
They've got them in their hands now, Dennis. They've got them in their hands now.
Right. Mm. Well, the very first product, if you just turn to the first product, it's a double pages. And anybody who wants a copy, they can write a phone to Pharma North in Morpeth, and they will give them a copy. They'll send them a copy of this book, and it's got all the 48 products that they make, but we're just talking now at the moment by the bioquinone Q10, the 100 milligram capsule. And it shows you there a graph of the production on the right-hand page of how much Q10 you're making at different ages. So it shows that when you're 2 years old, and you're quite small when you're 2 years old, and your production is very low of Q10, the amount in your blood and your kidney and your heart and your liver is quite low, but it's enough for a two-year-old because you're so small. You try and catch a two-year-old, it's difficult. Now, when you get to 21, and Jill is around about that age, you're actually making your maximum production. And by the time you get to 39 to 43, round about the 40 age group, you could still run a marathon in the Olympics if you're fit enough, but I don't think you'll beat the 20-year-olds because your Q10 level production has now gone right back to when you were 2. And then as you pass 40, when your levels have gone back to a 2-year-old, they now start to go even lower as you become 50. And 60, and 70, 80, 90, 100, your levels are dropping. But if you take a supplement of bioquinone Q10, then on one of the 100 milligram a day, which you would have to eat 3 pounds, 1.5 kilos of sardines, something like what a sea lion would eat, to get the amount of Q10 in one capsule, you would have to eat 3 pounds, 1.5 kilos of sardines. So I'm just showing you how amazing this product is. If to giving you your energy. Now, when I say the word energy, you wonder, well, yes, you're twittering on about Q10. How does it give you your energy? Well, each day we eat food, and each minute we breathe about 18 times each minute. When you're asleep, you breathe a bit slower because you're not doing much. But as soon as you wake up, you're breathing about 18 times a minute. So to breathe, and your heart's beating about 72 times a minute, so you're breathing 18 times a minute, and your heart's beating 72 times a minute, and you're eating food, your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner. So the Q10, this energy-giving substance, is joining together the food that you eat and the oxygen that you breathe. That's why you eat. That's why you breathe, to give you what we call energy. If I punch you in the nose, you may not be able to describe exactly what energy is. But if you get your nose broken by a punch, you will feel that energy from the person throwing the punch. And that capability of punching or picking your nose, scratching your bottom, your heart beating, your breathing, your blinking, your walking, running, whatever you're doing, you're using energy. So the energy, we say, comes from the food you eat and the oxygen you breathe. But there's a molecule, which you probably haven't heard of, but it's equally as well known in medicine as water, H2O, and oxygen, O2. And that molecule is called ATP. Now, my name's Dennis, but don't think they named it after me. The molecule ATP is adenosine triple phosphate. And when you break a triple phosphate, a phosphate flies off, and you're left with adenosine double phosphate, ADP. And that explosion of the phosphate breaking off the ATP molecule releases energy, like an atom bomb explosion. And that's the energy you need to do everything in every second of every minute of your entire life. You need energy. So as your Q10 production falls, if you're looking at that little book, you can see on the Q10 page, on the right-hand page, there's a graph, as I say, showing you your different levels. So as you pass 21 and you get to 40, 50, 60, beyond, then your energy level is going to fall. You're still eating and you're still breathing, but you haven't got as much Q10 as when you had your top levels at 21. And so the ATP production, the molecule which gives you your energy, the levels of ATP fall. Now, how much ATP do you make? You won't believe this. This is the amazing number. I weigh 12 stone at 5'9". So I make 6 stone a day, half my body weight. Everybody on the planet, 7 billion people, including Fred and Jill. You, Fred and Jill, are making half your body weight today and every day of ATP. You're making it from your food and your oxygen, but you're adding them together, you're joining them with this molecule, the bioquinone Q10 100 milligram. That capsule will always keep your levels. They call it the spark. It's the spark which gives you your energy. Just like in a car, you have a spark plug to ignite the petrol with the air. In the same way, the food is our petrol and the air is our oxygen. And just like the car engine joins them together to give them that explosion so you can drive your car at 70 miles an hour on a motorway, in the same way, you want to go through life, your 24 hours, doing all the things you want to do, gardening, etc., playing the guitar. You need energy to pluck those strings with your plectrum. You need energy just to hold your plectrum, the little plastic thing that you beat against the strings. But everything you do needs energy. There is a word, sarcopenia, which is only coined in 1988 by doctors to describe muscle loss. And you see, as you get older and older, you do lose muscle. Once you're 45, over the next 10 years till you're 55, and then 10 years, 65 and 75, each 10 years, once you hit 75, you are losing 10% of your muscle. It's called sarcopenia. Sarco is Greek for flesh. Penia is Greek for poor. Poor flesh means you're losing your muscle. If you're blessed with living to 75 to 85, then you become even more doddery. Then you lose up to 30% in those 10 years of your muscles. And elderly ladies in particular, they tend to fall over at over 75, and many of them need a new hip, go into hospital to have a new hip. Now, they're falling over because they become a bit weak and doddery, and it's hard to steady yourself with weak arm muscles and weak wrist muscles and weak leg muscles and your central core down your stomach area and your six-pack area. Everything's going weaker, so you fall over and you put your hand out to stop yourself. You can break your wrist, you can fall and break your wrist, your hip, you can bang your head, and you end up in hospital having a new hip. There have been trials done in old people's home with elderly ladies where they've given elderly ladies the Q10. And over a period of 2 years, their falls have been reduced by 48% because they've now got the energy and stronger muscles to support themselves, like to do a break fall. If you were a judo person, you'll know that you do a break fall when you put your hand out the correct way. There's a correct way of slapping your hand with your arm down to protect yourself if you fall. And vitamin D, Pharma Nord make bio-vitamin D. And vitamin D, we're taught, is also very important because north of London, right up to the lake, Scotland, Birmingham, Liverpool, Manchester, the lake, Scotland, there's no sun from October to April, so there's very little vitamin D made. You practically make none, and we're all low in vitamin D. And it's not just against rickets. Vitamin D is involved in it's so many pathways in your body. It helps to prevent Alzheimer's, depression, heart problems. It helps prevent diabetes, and if pregnant ladies don't get enough sun, which we don't from October to April for 7 months in England, then you're going to get an increase in pregnant women. Their babies have a greater increase of type 1 diabetes. So there are many reasons why we need vitamin D, and because of lack of sun, we can't get enough vitamin D. So you can take a bio-vitamin D capsule. It's the smallest capsule in the range. It's the smallest capsule I've ever seen. And yet it's got enough vitamin D to put back what you can't make because there's not enough sun. 80% of our vitamin D requirements are actually made in our skin. There's a chemical waiting in our skin. As you're sitting there now, there's a chemical waiting to get a nice summer to get some vitamin D. You're supposed to go in the sun for about 15, 20 minutes without a sunscreen. You know, the hot time is between, say, 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock when it gets really hot. And if you're out for 15 minutes, you will make a lot of vitamin D. The rest of the day, so to avoid skin cancer, then you should be using your high factor to protect you, and the children in particular, which have got thinner skin. They should be running around for 15 minutes without, each day, without the sunscreen, just to make the vitamin D, and then they knew, then they need the high factor, at least a factor 15 for adults, and they make a factor 30 and a 50 for children. And babies should never be put in the sun, because they will get terrible burn. Remember, the skin never forgets.
Quite right too, Dennis. We just hold it there for a moment, because again, it's fascinating stuff in every way, and it has to be said. Just roughly on the basis of that mini lecture, Jill, how old do you think Dennis actually is?
About 55.
55, Dad, and Fred?
I would have said about the same.
About 55. And in fact, Dennis, you have how many years on the planet?
I'm 7 years off 80. I'm 73. My mother did all the bookwork for my busy pharmacy here in Manchester. She was on Q10 right up to her death at 92. My uncle David, my uncle, is 98 this year. He's been on Q10 and the mineral selenium, because England's got the lowest selenium in the world, and we all need those two. And in Sweden, when they gave Q10 and selenium to 400 people aged 70 to 90 and followed them for 5 years at the world-famous Karolinska Hospital on two Q10 and one tablet of selenium that cost 10p, the death rate over 5 years from heart attacks dropped an unbelievable 54%.
So there you have it. Any questions, briefly, Fred, that you want
to put to? That's very interesting.
That's very good. Jill?
Yes, you've certainly sold me.
Well,
they are the elixirs of life.
And
all these people gasping for air with asthma, if they'd been on extra Q10, then their body would have the energy to cope much better. The heart uses more Q10 than any... The heart, kidney, lung and liver all use more Q10 than any other organ, because they're the most active. And at the moment, with all the smog, the lung and the heart in particular need all the help they can get. So taking bioquinone Q10, bioselenium, you can see it enables you to generate the energy and give you the protection, and the vitamin D gives you the protection. These are amazing products. Even biomagnesium. Magnesium is in 325 different pathways. It's very cheap. It costs coppers a day. And it's in 325 pathways. In particular, the nervous system uses magnesium.
And
so
we can go on to that.
Very important substance.
In a whole heap of ways, Dennis, as ever. You can access more details via multivits.co.uk, or just simply go to southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, and a whole heap of other goodies, including this little mini lecture will be on board from that point of view. So a bit of education, Fred and Jill, to actually work your way through that. And they are duly taking their booklets away, Dennis, and I'm sure
And in that booklet, it will mention a bark of a tree from Bordeaux in France called Biopycnogenol, and that is used by asthmatics to help prevent the inflammation. Besides taking their brown preventers and the blue ones, salbutamol is the treater, but the preventer is the main one to start each day, because that's the preventer. But pycnogenol, a bark of a tree, also helps to prevent the inflammatory leukotriene substances, which bring about the constriction of your breathing tubes. Remember, asthma, although we say it's a breathing problem, it starts out as an inflammation problem. That's why you use your brown one. And any asthma person listening, there's 5 million in the country. Don't, when you use your Ventolin and your Becotide, don't suck them in like at high speed, because it'll hit the back of your throat and it won't get in your lung. When you put it to your mouth and you've shaken it, put it in your mouth, suck it like this.
And that's why
nice
you...
Nice and steady.
That's
93% of people do not know how to use their sprays. That is a very dangerous scenario if you can't use your spray properly.
And that's,
suck it in nice and slowly and it'll get into your lungs. Too fast, it'll hit your throat, and you will be in trouble.
Dennis, as ever, coming from the world of, obviously, pharmaceuticals, extraordinaire, Dennis the chemist, fantastic stuff there. I take it you've had a reasonably interesting mini session with us today?
Well, that last 30 seconds, well, that saves people's lives.
Which is always important, I feel.
Because exactly. There are a lot of people who become very ill and can even die from an asthma attack because they don't know you how to use the spray. Mm. Every pharmacy in the country, there are 12,000, they are trained to teach you, besides your practice nurse and your doctor. You ask your pharmacist, go today, ask your pharmacist, say, will you teach me how to use my spray properly? I heard on the radio 93% don't use it properly. They will teach you how to use it. Very important. I'm glad we've had the opportunity to say it again.
That's okay. Alex. Dennis, I take it you'll be back with us again next week?
All being well. Bye, Fred. Bye, Jill.
Bye.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential and nursing care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough, providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential, nursing and dementia service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 22 33 34. That's 01642 22 33 34. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com.
My wife Betty was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Through the surgery and telling our daughters, I could still remain positive, but eventually I felt there was nothing more I could do for her. That's when I felt I was falling. That's when Tony was brilliant.
I would offer support to the family wherever I could, ultimately helping Betty fulfill her wish of passing away at home.
No one should face cancer alone. With your support, more nurses like Tony can be there for people like Betty and Bill. Text Tony to 70550 to donate £5 today. We are Macmillan Cancer Support.
We receive 94p of every pound donated.
With a high-spec accommodation, all with ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential nursing and dementia service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at roseville@prestigegroup.uk.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call
Lincoln
us home.
Inspired is more than just an arts festival. More than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
And today, of course, Southside Broadcasting, Channel 1 for Hospedia, for the James Cook University Hospital. And having just heard from Dennis Gore there, we'll be also speaking to Professor June Andrews in the next other programme, who'll be talking about why people are beginning to worry about getting older a lot more earlier than they used to. People in their 30s and 40s and all sorts of other areas. Well, never mind. It's the mileage and experience, not necessarily the breadth. Or maybe it is. Anyway, we now turn to something, actually, Fred, which ties into the pineapple, which we haven't forgotten about. We'll work through that. And obviously your gardening tips with respect to that. But we turn to our countryside correspondent who yesterday said she's going to just have a little look at the Grand National. She's hopefully going to be making her way to Aintree. She's got a whole heap of other things to share with us as well. Minty Steed, good morning, how are you?
Okay, thank you, Alex.
Excellent stuff. So, I finished off the show yesterday by talking about Alvarado, being my own particular suggestion as a possibility for the Grand National. You've had a chance to actually look at the things yourself for now. Any thoughts on, I mean, apart from the obvious one saying you hope they all come home safely, which of course we all do, any thoughts in terms of who you should be going for?
Well, I haven't actually even looked at the 40 that's going to go into the race, because we've had a few different things to attend to, which took up pretty well every minute since about half an hour after we stopped yesterday.
Well, I didn't know.
And it was a situation to deal with, and so we just...
Well, in which case, all right, let's...
But I would say, again, I've not looked at the final 40, but for safety purposes, and knowing at least the horse will be perfectly capable of getting round, it might, again, as I said before yesterday, end up last. I would say, if you put something on the horse, whether a horse, I think it's Moonshine, that Sue Smith trained, and of course, Harvey Smith would not think of his wife sending it round that course if he didn't think he could do it. Yeah. So for safety purposes, knowing he could bet without worrying about the animal, it is probably the safest bet you can put on if you want to support a horse.
Well, there we are.
The jockey doesn't think he's going to get anywhere at all, but as he says, that he has confidence in the animal that it will get that round unless some other horse brings it down.
Okay, so it'll finish. That's the important thing.
I'm sure it's Mr. Moonshine, but I stand corrected if I'm wrong.
We'll double check that. Okay, in the studio we got Fred Bottrell and Jill making their real return, because they were here a few weeks ago, back in March, and we set Fred a task of actually looking at your gardening, because you're quite interested in gardening, Fred, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, and you'd like to grow pineapples.
I've seen it, yeah.
All right, so talk to us a bit about that, because Minty is the resident expert when it comes to horticultural stuff and more, really. So,
if you buy a pineapple, cut the top off, but make the top quite thick before you cut it off. Mm-hmm. Take three layers of leaves off, then turn it over and cut the top into like a plug. Fill a plant pot full of compost, soak it, so it's all packed, and then put the pineapple in. And it takes 3 years to grow.
Well, there we are. Does that gel with yourself, Minty? You ever try growing pineapples?
Yes. No, but yesterday as a child, all the different stones from the fruit, and it is the same concept of let it regenerate itself, you know, making good so you can enjoy the fruit and grow from it, which is a wonderful bounty of nature. And I would say anyone listening to the advice just given would have a decent chance, probably more of a chance of growing really good pineapple out of it than choosing the Grand National winner. So I'd say it's well worth doing, and I think it'd be a marvellous project for children and introduce them maybe to a whole world of regenerating fruit from its own source, and also to go on to horticulture and gardening. I mean, I can think of nothing better to do to show a child how nature is.
There we are. Thumbs up from what you see. Let's move on. You checked out JD the Rabbit. And, of course, the joys of the geese. How are they coping in North Yorkshire?
Oh, they're very, very proud of themselves. We went along on the early evening, they're strutting about, and their gander is following them, so they're obviously the boss of him, you know, usually the other way around, but he's dutifully trailing along behind them. And they're full of the joys of spring and life, and the marvellous touch of eggs. So we're looking forward, you know, to Goslings and seeing what we can do, and putting some of those in the shows in classes, because there's all classes for geese of all ages, ganders of all ages, and we'll see. But whatever they become, at least it's marvellous. They're so happy, and it's lovely to see them like that.
Okay. Point to point.
And JD the Rabbit
has
certainly settled into his new home, and so much so, and because I'm pretty well convinced he thinks he's something vastly different from a tiny little dwarf rabbit. When Tarka and Toppy started to bark as he looked towards them, he sort of turned round, showed his rear end to them and kicked out, then turned round, came back, and he just advanced straight upon them, of which they were astounded. They used to be, you know, Biggie Bun doing it, because he's a giant rabbit, but to have a tiny little thing, not even the size of a head, do it, they decided, well, he's got something about him, and they didn't do what a lot of tennies would have done. And he's very, very, very freckled, extremely confident with himself, and it's lovely to see it in him, and he's a bad. So we've taken that. I don't think he has the appropriate ring on that we have to have for the major shows, but we've certainly taken him for the small shows and see how he goes.
Last year, of course, we were very excited because we introduced the whole concept of rabbit show jumping to the whole system, just in case people are actually wondering. You can actually sort of Google that. There's rabbit show jumping there in full force.
That's right. Well, we're now entered in. We're nominated to be entered in to five different rabbit jumping competitions. We had, because of my own soul, a year to do a lot of things. But he's in full training. We started 10 days ago to get him into full training. And Lola, the Newfoundland, the Lancashire black and white, she goes round the course with him. And she's one size of a dog now, she's matured. And it's quite a sight to see. And we'll slowly be progressing upward in height and width of the fences. And we hope that we'll be at the one at Harrogate sort of towards the end of the season, when it's sort of the champion of champions rabbit jumping, when they come from all over Europe and the continent to join in.
Okay.
How we shall do, we don't know, but we're going to have a cracking good go at it.
And just in case people are wondering, don't worry, the rabbits do not have jockeys on them, so they just
actually No. I don't think, actually, you could be banned from rabbit jumping if you knitted a little jockey and then put it on the back of the harness. Mm. That adds an extra answer too, and you don't want to do that when you're going on the fence. Do you?
Quite right too. Talking about fences, Point to Point, which is very much the forerunner of the Grand National, you've got one at Middleton this weekend. Let's just quickly check this out. Fred, are you familiar with Point to Point?
No.
And Jill, Point to Point?
No.
Well, obviously the education continues, so Minty, would you like to explain for the benefit of Fred and Jill, and probably our listener who might still think, Point to Point, what's it all about? What is it all about?
Point to Point is the first origins of racing, as you see, the National Hunt Racing and the Grand National, and when they go what they call the sticks and the hurdles. And it's where a horse has been out regularly out in the countryside. It used to be that traditionally it had to hunt about 8 times to prove it had been out hunting, and that's quite a hairy, dangerous job taking up a horse that's suitable for racing out hunting, I can assure you. You know, especially on a windy day, you really did have to have the courage to stick on tight in that situation. But nowadays it's out where they don't hunt now in the way they did, but it has to sort of cross country with the hunt at least 8 times. You get a signed certificate to prove you've done that, then you can enter not only your own hunts Point to Point, but any other Point to Point you wish to enter, unless it's confined only to members. And it's a bit like a small version of the Grand National. And I mention that because the Grimthorpe Cup, the Lord Grimthorpe Cup, is the one that every single point-to-point rider all over the country and beyond would wish to win. It is the absolute cup to win of all point-to-point awards. And if you go along the A64 from York, if you're heading to Scarborough, or Scarborough to York, and then be the A64, you'll go down the steep hill along a small piece of dual carriageway, and on the left-hand side you will see the fences all down one side behind the hedge running along the bridle path and the cycle track. And that horse is part of the point-to-point at Whitmore on the hill. And when you go there to watch, you park up on top of the hill and you see the whole view, and you can see right over the Vale of York too from there. And it's a wonderful setting, and the Middleton Hunt is one of the most important hunts in the country. Again, we don't hunt foxes anymore, but, you know, hunt as such still exists. And the last MFH they have, that's the Master of Foxhounds, he now is head of all Masters of Foxhounds and makes sure they follow all the rules and they don't hunt foxes anymore. He's actually the brother of Stuart Easby, the world-renowned vet, because, of course, has been regular for Southside and Siren and expects to go out all over the world to help rescue animals in floods and disasters.
If Jill and Fred would just like to look at the wall there, you'll see a man who is pointing to Stuart Easby's chest there, wearing his polo shirt, effectively, for Southside Broadcasting. That, I believe, was Marrow. Right. Marrow there.
M-A-R-R-A. Marrow. It means best mate, good friend. Marrow.
Right. Sure, yeah. And Mara, from his own point of view, is he still raising funds for the North Yorkshire Ambulance?
Yes, he is, and he said any time you want to join in anything, he is more than happy, be it to come along or come into the studio or anything. He's been rather ill on and off at times, but he's Mara, and there's no character like Mara, and I don't think he'll ever give up doing the things he does to help others. He'd be doing it on the day he died, you know, he'd be helping someone.
Well,
he's a marvellous character.
There we are.
A very fine example of humanity.
News on the Middleton Hunt, Point to Point Sunday. It's the 6th of April 2014, so that's this Sunday. You can actually see the whole thing on Whitwell, Whitwell on the Hill, by kind permission, obviously, of D.R. Brotherton Esquire, and it's sponsored, of course, by Crombie Wilkinson Solicitors. So Crombie Wilkinson Solicitors are the main sponsors. Yeah. Hot food served throughout the day, including bacon sandwiches, soup, and other homemade delights. Presumably there'll be vegetarian equivalents as well, but there we are.
Just It is a good day out. You don't need to be what you call horse interested or hunt interested. It's a magnificent spectacle, a lovely setting, and you're straight back onto the road to go to see, say, York, or go whichever way you want to go. I mean, you can make a real day of it and then go after the race in York or something like that.
Always important as we go out and about, so to speak. Now, Minty, from the point of view of obviously accessibility, as regular listeners know, you are in a wheelchair, so you're coordinating various other things from that. How do you find getting to a point to point? Do they accommodate for wheelchair sort of people as well?
Pretty well. Of course, you don't have so much of the facilities, the special tracks, etc., but the help comes from the people. And if you sort of become wheelchair stuck, you know, a bit like your Land Rover, your 4x4 between bogs and in the mud, they're not supposed to, but sometimes they do. And you're not short of many willing hands to get you out of the mud and make sure you're where you need to be and give you an advantage to watch. As I say, they can't provide all the things that wonderful things like Royal Athletics can provide, but people are willing to help you, and you wouldn't be more than a second or two before someone would give you a hand.
Okay.
And that's as much as all the best facilities in the world, isn't it? People are willing to help you.
Precisely. Okay. So will you be making your way to Aintree for the Grand National tomorrow?
All things being okay for the next 2 or 3 hours, yes, indeed. And Toppy has his special outfit ready, suitable for the Grand National, and we're hoping to make the best of it. And as Cornelius said earlier this morning on this radio programme, that Cheltenham is great fun and seriously horsey, and nothing's like the Cheltenham roar when everybody calls out, you know, as the winds come in. But the Grand National is like a sort of huge outdoor party, and it's great fun. So we're looking forward to that and all the rest of the things we're aiming to do. And I'm going to try this year to find as many places as possible I can go, and especially those where, such as by the train and assisted disability, you know, travel in that line, to see how many I can do myself, along with Toppy, of course, and see if I can sort of prove that nothing can stop you if you're determined enough. And that as long as there's a bit of help here and there, your disability shouldn't impede you from doing anything you could have done when you could stand up and walk. And I'm determined to try to do that with the aid of Toffee. I couldn't do it without him, but with him, I'm going to try to do as much of it as I can. So if anyone has any suggestions of places I could go to, such as that, and any way it's possible for me to actually initiate the transport, such as the disability rail assistance, I'm going to have a go.
Okay. Toffee, of course, being your companion piece. We're just actually having a look at one of the sort of photographs from actually the Great Yorkshire Show last year, which focuses on the Toffee side of things. There. Yes. Some of the terriers
He's my disability aid terrier, and he's the only terrier, real, true, working terrier, that is a disability aid as well, because working terriers are usually very much solely in doing their work at North Toffee. Toffee is two characters that way. He has his jacket on, and anytime he's just with me, and he is my great helper. But when we take the jacket off, or when I release him into the tracks for terrier racing, then he's all terrier, and he loves winning terrier racing, and he's a terrier through and through. But the minute he knows he's on duty for me, he changes completely into the most amazing disability aid anyone could have.
Okay, so we've looked at geese, we've looked at horses, we've looked at obviously Toffee the Terrier, a variety of other things. You also wanted to mention a pet store that has just opened up with a whole range of things. This is the Pet and Aqua Store in Muston Road near Filey in Yorkshire, is that right?
That's right. If ever anyone's ever been along to the old Butlins camp and the various variations of such as it is, it's about 1.5 miles away from there. It's on the Muston Road. You can come via Hunmanby and head towards Garber, and you will be heading then towards the old Butlins. And about 1.5 miles before then is this marvellous store, wonderful parking facilities. It's the thing that impressed me most, the wide aisles, so you can get round in your wheelchair. It's peaceful, but not very too quiet for bearing it. You know what I mean? It's nice and peaceful. There's loads of animals and different birds, etc. They're all in the most excellent condition. I was very impressed with that. Very large cages, very large display areas for them, demonstrating, because they're actually there not so much for selling them and the purchasing and selling of the animals, as they're there to demonstrate how good their facilities are, i.e. the cages, the pens, and the play toys and things. And it's marvellous. And I must say, out of all the places I've been where they have lots of the various tropical fish and fish of all kinds, and it's so clean. It is marvellously done. You know, there's the right amount of air going through in the tanks, and they are clean, and they're very easy to see, and they look extremely healthy. And I think it's a marvellous place to see. Even if you're not shopping, you're perfectly welcome to go around and see it all. And it's amazing some of the animal things they have, you know. And it's as good a store as you'd find anywhere. And it's just on the left-hand side of heading towards Filey. And such a marvellous area for parking. And wheelchair people, you've got all the room in the world to get around.
Okay, all right, moving on. Any questions that you might want to put to Minty?
No,
both Fred and Jill have just seen a photograph of Toppy, and indeed, as expected, it's been, you two can actually go to Southside Broadcasting on Facebook.com. That's Facebook.com /Southside Broadcasting. Catch up some of those photos as well. I think that pretty much wraps up the whole sequence, Minty, unless you want to look ahead briefly to the CLA Game Fair at Blenheim or the Great Yorkshire Show.
Oh, yes. And may I just add a little further about pineapples? It was a very big thing some centuries back that if you could have pineapples and have the facilities to grow pineapples, you really made it to the top, certainly money-wise, you know. And it was so prized and valued that you could grow pineapples in this country, that they would quite often have carvings of pineapples on display, not only in the house, but now at the main entrance you would find pineapples on top of the stone pillars to display that this place, we are so wealthy and so able and so influential, we can grow pineapples here. And it was a sense of great pride and achievement to be able to have them.
So there we are, Fred, you see. Pineapples is a status symbol.
It was, very much so,
I'd just like to mention that when you take the three layers of leaves off, that is where the roots grow.
Yes.
You must take them layers off.
Yes. Do let them know that, because we'd hate them people to be disappointed if we sort of cut it a little incorrectly, because it's a marvellous thing. But you agree it's very good for children to do as well, all such as that, to give them a feeling for nature and then go on to appreciate it.
Yep, fantastic. Minty, I take it you've had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today.
Certainly I have, yes.
Good, and we'll catch up with you again, probably post-Grand National. Have a safe journey over there, and best to Jackie, and of course Toffee as well, and enjoy representing Southside Broadcasting. Give our best to Jane Clark and Michael Thomas.
Oh, we will. We shall do our very best, and I look forward to hearing further about horticulture and gardening by your guest in studio.
There we are, Minty Steed, and probably Fred Bartle will return. Here's Jerry Rafferty.